In Frank Topping's book, All the Days of My Life, there's a lovely story about a monastery. Now, the monks in this particular monastery were poor singers. And so when it came to singing the evening office, they imagined what they should sound like, but in actual practice, what they sang wasn't particularly melodious at all. And then one day they had a guest monk from another monastery who visited them, and he had a beautiful voice, and so he sang the evening office for them, and the other monks were thrilled to listen to his beautiful voice. That night, the abbot of the monastery had a dream, and an angel said to the abbot, "Why was there no singing in your chapel tonight? We usually hear some beautiful music." And the abbot replied, "You must be mistaken. Our singing is awful. It must make heaven weep. But this evening, we had a guest, a monk from another monastery, and he sang the evening office for us, and it was beautiful." And the angel replied, "That's funny. We didn't hear anything. You see, the music that heaven hears is of the heart and not of the mouth. When I was growing up, one of the most popular television personalities was Ted Moult. He appeared on television and also on radio, often in quiz programs. And I think later on, he used to advertise Everest double glazing. Ted Moult was a farmer, and he had a broad country accent. He was very, very intelligent and knowledgeable. And whenever you saw and heard him, you got the impression of a man who was very happy, witty, relaxed, and carefree. And so it came as a great surprise to me when sometime later, in 1986, I read his obituary in the Yorkshire Post, and it said that Ted Moult had taken his own life. He'd taken a shotgun and shot himself. Evidently, he'd been so depressed and so worried about his own health that he decided to end it all. Sometimes the public image is different to the private life. And this was the case with Ted Moult. He'd appeared to be happy, humorous, and carefree, but in actual fact, he'd been depressed and very worried. And of course, this can happen with a lot of people. The public image can be different to the private person. But even if people hide their real selves from the public, and even if they manage to do it to their family and friends, well, God knows us. He knows both the public image and the private person. And this is what we are told in Psalm 139, that God knows us through and through. The psalmist writes, "Lord, thou hast examined me and knowest me. Thou knowest all, whether I sit down or rise up. Thou hast discerned my thoughts from afar." And the psalmist says, "Lord, you know where I travel. You know what I say. And there's nowhere that I can escape from your presence. For you are present in heaven, and you are present in the world of the dead. You are present in the furthest point east, and you're present in the furthest point west. And even if I try to hide from you in the darkness, well, as far as you're concerned, darkness is light." And the psalmist says, "Lord, thou knowest me through and through." And of course, what's true for the psalmist was true for the monks in the monastery. It was true for Ted Moat, it's true for me, and it's true for all of us. God not only knows our public image, our outward appearance and character, but he knows our inner values and attitudes, the private person. And of course, God knows the difference between the public image and the private person. And God is primarily concerned about the inner attitudes rather than the outward appearance. When Samuel was choosing a new king for Israel to succeed King Saul, the Lord said to him that the Lord does not judge as men judge. Men judge by appearance, but the Lord judges by the heart. And so, of course, Samuel was to choose someone not by appearance, but by the heart. In our reading from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus castigates the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, and it's because their public image doesn't really reflect their private lives. And Jesus says to them, "You clean the outside of the dish and the cup, but you fill the inside with robbery and self-indulgence. You should clean the inside, and then the outside will be clean also." And it's true, isn't it? Sometimes appearances are deceptive. Let's go back to the Balkan Wars, and sometimes the Bosnian Serb soldiers would dress up as United Nations soldiers. They'd put on the uniform of the United Nations, and they were wanting their enemy to come to them to seek help. And that's what some of the Muslims did, expecting to be given help and safety, and then they were shot. And sometimes we hear stories of men who say they're from a gas company or an electricity company, and they knock at the door of an elderly person and they gain access to that person's house, and then they commit robbery. In other words, they're not what they appear to be. Of course, outward appearances and the inner person can be the same. What you see can be what you get. But I suspect often there is a difference between the outward person and the inner person, even if that difference is a small one. Now, the crux of Jesus' teaching is that inner attitudes lead to outward actions. And so he says to the teachers of the law and to the Pharisees, clean the inside of the cup, and then the outside will be clean also. We think of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, the people who will receive God's blessing are those of a gentle spirit, those who hunger and thirst to see right prevail, and those whose hearts are pure. And Jesus says that not only is murder wrong, but also nursing anger is wrong. He says that not only is adultery wrong, but looking upon a woman lustfully is also wrong. And Paul, writing in his letter to the Philippians, talks about the importance of inner values and spirituality. He writes, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And then Paul, writing to the Romans, says to his Christian readers, do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a change of your mind. And then you will be able to discern the will of God, what is good, what is pleasing to Him, and what is perfect. In other words, Paul is saying, let God give you the right inner attitudes, and then the right actions will follow. God knows us through and through, and God is able to give us loving hearts and minds, which will produce loving words and actions. Amen.